You are Locked On Fantasy, your daily fantasy football podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Locked On Fantasy Football Podcast. As usual, I'm your host, Vinny Iyer. When I'm not doing this, I'm writing about NFL and fantasy football for SportingNews.com. So we've flipped the page there to Week 15. We have the picks against the spread are up. We have the rankings up throughout positions. I'll have the start-sit column I do up there on Thursday. But here we got to break down all the games on the schedule. Another full slate. Critical time again. We're deep into the fantasy football playoffs. Also some intriguing things that we can look at from a DFS perspective is if you've been eliminated there, you can still look to make some big moves here at the end of the season in the final 3 weeks. Use the data in front of us. And if you play DFS, you'll also like going to play on draft. And this is Draft Wednesday. So again, I'm pleased to announce that Locked On Fantasy, that's the name of the draft on draft.com. We're doing a draft there, four-person draft at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time today. So check it out. You can search it by Locked On Fantasy. I'll also tweet out the link, share it on the Facebook page as well if you're tracking the podcast there. So it'll be a good chance to get in on the action there at draft. It's a good alternative to DFS. And you can take advantage of that for sure, and we'll give you a special promo code, LONFL, to really benefit and get into the game there. And really, it's a great experience. I really strongly suggest that you get into the fun before it's too late this season and take advantage of that for 3 weeks left to go. Now, let's start with what we have on Thursday night. This one's a bit ugly. It's the Broncos and Colts, so not exactly the points thing that we're looking for, but it's okay. You may want two teams that don't have too much going on offensively to get it out of the way on Thursday, have the other teams play on the weekend. We also have a couple Saturday games this week for you, but you look at this game, the Broncos are favored on the road against the Colts, and Denver still has a pretty strong defense here. We saw that. They shut out the Jets. It really helped that Josh McCown went down with that left-hand injury. Now out for the season, but otherwise, the Jets couldn't do anything against the Broncos. I don't really have high expectations for the Colts. We'll start there. I know Jack Doyle scored last week, and the tight end is a good way to attack Denver, but Jacoby Brissett is just being destroyed here by pressure, and the Broncos, you know, can definitely bring that with Von Miller and company, so I don't expect a lot of success. They can pretty much erase T.Y. Hilton there with either Aqib Talib or Chris Harris Jr. if they try to get Hilton in the slot. So either way, he's kind of messed up here with no Dante Moncrief on the other side. He's going to get all the coverage attention, and Jack Doyle will get plenty of it as well. And then the running game, it's hard to know between Frank Gore and Marlon Mack. The touches always be a question mark here. I know that the Broncos are vulnerable against pass-catching backs, but we didn't really see that materialize with old Matt Forte and young Gurr Bilal Powell last week, so I really can't look at anything on the Colts and say that's something I want to put in this week. That all the way goes down to Adam Vinatieri. I know he had a rough game in the snow, but if the Broncos can pitch another shutout here, I don't want to risk a kicker that could be blanked for sure. On the Broncos side of things, I really like Brandon McManus. If you're looking for a kicker indoors, good elements, was busy last week against the Jets, and you know this Broncos offense is going to do some good things against the Colts. I think the person I trust the most is Demaryius Thomas. Him and Trevor Siemian seem to be on the same page. No Rashawn Melvin, probably with a hand injury for the Colts. So Demaryius Thomas is an excellent play this week, right along with the Broncos defense and McManus. Trevor Siemian's a bit risky on the road just because he could, again, pass this along to a field goal fest, not much after Thomas, very similar to what happened against the Jets. Now, if you're really pushing here and you need some help in the backfield, you can consider C.J. Anderson. The workload has been there. Jamal Charles and Devontae Booker are more blips in relation to him. The Colts' run defense is not very good. So Anderson is more of a sleeper this week for me based on the matchup alone. But Thomas feels the best. Like, you really can't recommend Emmanuel Sanders. He doesn't look right with that ankle, and the connection with Simeon just isn't there at this point. So that's how I kind of break this down. I think it'll probably be right around this total, but I can't see the Colts doing too much. And the Broncos, limited success, but the main guys who've been doing it for them in these good matchups for most of the year. We move on to our Saturday game. Saturday, so keep that in mind that you're going to have to think about it in between Thursday and Sunday to make some lineup decisions here. It's the Bears and Lions. It's a doubleheader on Saturday. That's the first divisional matchup that we have. And we'll start with the Bears. And you look at Jordan Howard. Love him again this week. They're going to keep feeding him the rock. Lions have struggled against the running game. I think you'll see a lot of Cohen as well. I think they finally figured out they have to keep feeding Howard and a Terry Cohen as much as possible here. And I think that's going to be some good things for Adam Shaheen, too. The Lions have been very vulnerable to the tight end of late. O.J. Howard mentioned Shaheen as a sneaky pickup. So I'm not going to say Mitchell Trubisky is somebody I like too much, even with his good game last week in Cincinnati. I don't think you're going to stream a rookie guy at this stage of the season. But you look at Shaheen, I don't really trust the Bears receivers. They're all over the board with what we've seen there. I just can't go there. But Shaheen and the running backs looks like a good spot for them. And Cohen and Shaheen are more sleepers. Howard is looking like another guy that you can plug in DFS after a big game. On the Lions side of things, I think you have to look to their wide receivers, Marvin Jones and Golden Tate. They're every week plays and regular. I think you look at Jones, had a big game against the Bears the first time, so got to like him again in this matchup. He's always involved. He has a pretty good floor now that's developed. Golden Tate is back there getting a lot of targets. Theo Riddick, you got to like with the volume now. With Nomir Abdullah, pretty much kind of doghoused on this team for good here. So Riddick getting some red zone touches, some passing touches, so definitely usable here with the Tate and Marvin Jones Jr. Now, Eric Ebron, if you're stretching a little bit, you could look at him, but keep in mind, the Bears are pretty good against the tight end. You raced Tyler Kroft last week, so if the two tight ends in this game, I mentioned Ebron as a pickup, but just for his involvement in this offense more so here. So that's how I kind of look at this going down for the Lions. A lot of the passing game, as we expect with Matthew Stafford, he should be a little better. One more week to heal there with the hand, and they still threw for 300 yards last week. I think he could cut down the turnovers indoors. No worries there. And the kickers here, I think you look at Matt Prater indoors, a good thing to trust here as well early. Our next game, you look at the Chargers and Chiefs, and this is an interesting one. I think you have a pretty potential for a high-scoring game. It's 45, so it's a slight Chiefs favorite or slight Chargers favorite. So looking at mid-20s for both teams here. I really trust the Chargers offense a lot more than the Chiefs, however. I mean, Keenan Allen is absolutely on fire. You got to keep sticking with him. He was kind of bottled up. Marcus Peters is going to return, but I think he'll be fine in this one. Allen is moving around the formation. He's just dominated here, and the Chargers are feeding him. I don't think you can chase Tyrell Williams' points, but there's a chance for a slightly big play there for Los Angeles. But I would still just stick with the guys that are getting it done for them right now. That's Allen and Hunter Henry at tight end. The Chiefs have struggled against the tight end of late, gave up a score there in a big game to Jared Cook. So I think it's the Allen and Henry show. Sticking with Melvin Gordon, I don't think he would go to Austin Eckler. The touches and production have really cooled off for Eckler, and the Chiefs can be pretty good against the run as well. So you're sticking with those four guys. Rivers, you got to keep rolling with. He's been outstanding here. DFS could be another solid cash game week for him. On the Chiefs side of things, I would proceed with caution with everyone here on this team. I think you look at Travis Kelce, you feel the best about him. But Tyreek Hill has a very tough matchup here. Maybe Casey Hayward or Trevor Williams. Either one is going to be very difficult outside for him. This pass rush is going to be hard with Joey Bosa and Melvin Ingram in the face of Alex Smith. So I think they're going to have to give the ball a lot to Kareem Hunt. The Chargers can be run on, that's for sure. So I think Hunt has to get a high volume again. Second straight game, came through last week in a big game in the division against the Raiders. So I figure he's going to get a lot. So I think it's more of a Hunt Kelce game, less of a Smith pushing it downfield to Hill type of game. Just not going to have the opportunities there. And that's how I kind of see it. And it's going to be played out kind of close to the 20s, but don't kind of overstretch and play guys that you shouldn't here in this tough spot. Eagles and Giants, as we turn our attention to the 1 o'clock games on Sunday. And Eagles are going to be without Carson Wentz. We know that. Everyone knows that right now. So it's Nick Foles, and Nick Foles is not in a terrible situation. The Giants' defense is beat up here, can give a lot to the run. I expect they'll go pretty run-heavy with the Eagles. Their defense should control these things, so got to like Jay Ajayi. Other than that, I think the way that Ajayi has kind of taken over this backfield with Blunt and Corey Clement, it's hard to expect. But Ajayi, you have to look in there because I think volume is going to increase with Foles in there. I like Alshon Jeffrey with no Janoris Jenkins on the other side. I like Zach Ertz. Look for him to return from that concussion this week. If not, Trey Burton, you can look at, again, after the two-touchdown game, the Giants give up a ton of the tight end. So I think either way, you want an Eagles tight end in your team plans this week. And you have to look at Nelson Agholor as well. The Giants have been eat up in the slot as well. Dominic Rodgers-Cromartie kind of lessening here. Eli Apple has been bad. So Torrey Smith was a big factor last week, but I think this could be more of an Agholor game. Torrey Smith is too hit or miss to trust, but Agholor is definitely going to be involved here. So that tells you that Foles could be an excellent streamer this week against the Giants as well. They just are not doing much. Gave up over 300 to Dak Prescott last week with a lot of big plays. So the Giants can be had for sure, and I think you have to go that way as much as possible. So not bad if you lost Wentz to just go right to Foles this week. As for the Giants, you look at Evan Engram, I do think he's the only playable, confident Giant here. The backfield's a mess with Orleans Darkwa versus Wayne Gallman. Sterling Shepard has not looked good of late, and I think Eli Manning has not looked good of late either. So Engram is the only guy that you're going to play here from the Giants' offense, I think. It's just ugly otherwise. They're kind of playing out the string here, and we'll see what they do. I just don't see Steve Spagnuolo returning as the full-time head coach here for the Giants. Our next game is the Green Bay Packers and Carolina Panthers. And Aaron Rodgers, it's affecting this one. Right now, Carolina's a big favorite around -6. But I think it would go down and the over-under would go up to about -1 for Carolina as the home favorite. So Aaron Rodgers makes that much of a 3.5 to 4.5 to 5 point difference, just him playing. So we'll see. Otherwise, Brett Hundley, he has played better on the road, and this Panthers secondary can be had. And I think his running ability can cause the Panthers some problems. So Hundley's not terrible. You can do a lot worse if you're trying to fill in for Wentz this week. And I think he's got a lot of confidence with Devontae Adams. That matchup is looking pretty good in this one. I think you could see more people get involved as well. But I think he has a pretty limited ceiling here in this one. I would like the Panthers pretty heavily in this. If Rodgers does or does not play, it doesn't matter. Cam Newton is in a good spot here against the secondary. Can some make some good plays. The pass rush could wreak a little bit of havoc on Cam Newton. You never know what you're going to get, but he'll probably get his touchdown. He'll probably get his good rushing yards and maybe shot at his second touchdown and break 200 yards. And that was all you pretty much need from Cam Newton to have a solid fantasy day for you. So I'm not thrilled about him in DFS just because he's an up and down. You never know what you're going to get, especially in cash games. But in tournament, not bad against this secondary at all. Devin Funchess, you got to keep playing. He came through in the tough matchup against Xavier Rhodes last week. Greg Olsen, I would proceed with caution. He just didn't look right. He played a lot of snaps, so the foot really not affected his ability to catch the ball. So I'm not sure yet on Greg Olsen. The Packers, anyway, are pretty good against the tight end. So I would cool my Jets there, but go Devin Funchess. I think you have to look at Jonathan Stewart. He's a much better home player. We saw that exploding against the Vikings. He's good in big game situations as the other parts of the Carolina offense get going. So Jonathan Stewart, you got to like more. The Panthers have gotten a little bit more grind. Christian McCaffrey, a little disappointing here of late with the touches. So if you had to pick one back and you were trying to start one of them, I think you have to go with Stewart over McCaffrey at this point for the Panthers. I never thought I'd say that, but the usage and the connection with Cam Newton just has not been there all season. It's kind of dwindled of late as the Panthers are playing a little bit more conservative, trusting their running game with Newton and Stewart power up the middle more so than McCaffrey here down the stretch as they try to close out teams and complement their defense. So that's how you have to look at it. Jamal Williams, you have to definitely start on the other side in the backfield for the Packers. He's getting too much volume here not to start. So Hundley, again, it's a bit of a risk, boom or bust, but we saw the boom that happened when you play him in Cleveland in DFS. So he has that type of potential. He's played better on the road. But Williams is in there. If Aaron Rodgers is able to play, I think it's a big boost for Jordy Nelson and Randall Cobb in this game. So if Rodgers doesn't play, I think you can't really trust Nelson or Cobb. But that definitely changes the perspective of this game. Williams becomes even a better play in that scenario as well. And Adams might actually drop a little bit because Rodgers won't be so locked in on him, but Adams can still be very productive. He's on high radar and should be in all lineups this week. Our next game is the Bengals traveling to the Vikings here, and I think this could be pretty ugly for the Bengals. AJ Green, you're playing. You're going to see the Xavier Rhodes matchup. We're going to hope like Marvin Jones or Funchess last week that AJ Green can go up and get a ball and make a play or get one shot against Trey Waynes in this one. And so you're going to stick with him, but Andy Dalton you can't look at all. You can't look at really the Bengals backfield, even if it's Gio Bernard starting over Joe Mixon. I think the Vikings will correct their run defense issues that they had in Carolina and make sure they shut a team down at home. So Mixon, Bernard should not be in the mix for you this week. Dalton, you can't look at. Tyler Kroft, you can't look at. So pretty much it's Green and nothing else for the Bengals. It's a 41 over under, and it's a 10-point favorite for Minnesota. So not a lot of points we expect on the Bengals side. That kind of plays with what we're thinking. On the Vikings side of things, I think the running game will be fine. Look for Vontaze Burfict. If he's not in there, it's a big boost to Latavius Murray and Jerick McKinnon. If he's in there, a slight downgrade, but still at home, I think Murray and McKinnon can be better than they were, much better than they were together in Carolina. You're sticking with Stephon Diggs. You'd like a little bit more out of him, but this Bengals secondary is extremely banged up as well. So Diggs and Adam Thielen should be fine. Kyle Rudolph, at this point, you can't sit. And the Bengals proved to be vulnerable against the tight end and Adam Shaheen of the Bears last week. So all that, so pretty much you feel good about everything on the Vikings. That adds up to Case Keenum as well, their defense, and Kai Forbath. So pretty much everything Vikings, only Green on the Bengals. Our next game is the Bills and the Dolphins. And we're not sure exactly the line of this one because the Bills, we're not sure if it's going to be Tyrod Taylor, who's got the knee injury, or Nathan Peterman, who's got the concussion. I would expect right now it's trending toward Tyrod Taylor. So that's going to help this game be a little bit more productive. I think you have to start with the running backs. Kenyon Drake, you got to love in this one for sure. After his big Monday night performance in the upset over New England, Bills' run defense is still a sieve. Frank Gore took a lot of volume but came through. Drake doesn't need that volume. He's a better, fresher leg runner at this point. So Drake and LeSean McCoy on the other side should have plenty of room to rumble in this one. In terms of the receivers, I wouldn't stretch it too far. I think you go with Jarvis Landry. I'm not ready to trust Kelvin Benjamin or really anything else in the passing game. I know the snowy conditions played a factor in that with Peterman starting and then Joe Webb coming in, but just still not feeling anything with the Bills passing game. I know Kelvin Benjamin has a shot at a touchdown, but the way Xavien Howard is playing now at corner for the Dolphins, I'm not so sure I trust too much here. So McCoy is pretty much it for me on the Bills. I don't really like to go to Tyrod either because that revamped Dolphins defense all of a sudden. So go away from that. I think the question mark for the Dolphins is Jay Cutler. Would you try to stream him this week? Is he going to stay hot? I would tend to say no on the road in a tough environment. Maybe the weather will play a factor. So stay away from the quarterbacks. But I could see a lot of short passes to Landry, a lot of running by Drake. That's pretty much the Dolphins' offense right now. If you expand to Devontae Parker, Kenny Stills, Julius Thomas, I think you're set up for disappointment in this matchup for sure. So I mentioned that today's Draft Wednesday, and we've got that special draft going down called Locked On Fantasy on Play Draft. You can go there. It's at 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time. That 4-team league will go down. It's not too late to join the 500,000 people that have already downloaded Draft this season. You get to play in a real live snake draft, and you're done in under 5 minutes, and they last just 1 week. You can join right now for week 15, as I mentioned, that Locked On Fantasy League, and you can play for cold hard cash. And get this, your chances of winning are 50 to 80% better than on the salary cap site. So you got a big chance to win there that you don't have playing DFS. And the best news of all, listeners to Locked On Fantasy Football get a free entry into a real money draft when you make your first deposit, but you have to use the promo code LONFL. Again, that promo code is LONFL. Play a real money game for free just by using the promo code LONFL. It gets even better. Draft is so sure you'll love it that they'll even offer listeners to Locked On Fantasy Football a money-back guarantee up to $100. Just search Draft in your app store, go to draft.com, and come play free right now with promo code LONFL and join that draft. It'll be a lot of fun. It's fun, easy, good alternative to DFS, and can't wait to step into draft for week 15. And I'd like definitely, if you're listening, enjoy the show. Love to see you in there and play this week. Now, we go to our next game here on Matchup Wednesday, and it's 1 o'clock window still. The Jaguars hosting the Texans, and we'll start with the Texans there in this one. They've got a tough time here with TJ Yates. I think you look at DeAndre Hopkins, Lamar Miller not really feeling too much in this game. So if you're in a shallower league and you can bench Lamar Miller, I would think about it for sure. But Hopkins is the only guy that I'm looking at from the Texans. Very easy. Jaguars defense, I love in this game against Yates at home. They're 10-point favorites, a low over-under. So that means the Jaguars are in a good position here, under 40 there for them. So things could really blow up for the Jaguars defense, play a lot better than they were last week. They were still pretty effective, had a couple picks and a sack of Russell Wilson, but the points really exploded. I don't think that'll happen this week. Blake Bortles is on fire, 3 straight 20-point games there in a 6-point TD passing leagues. He's found a groove with D.D. Westbrook. Keelan Cole is making some plays for him. You know, Marquise Lee. This Texans secondary is just really awful at the moment. So everything is lining up for Bortles at home in a comfortable spot. Not much pass rush to spread the ball around and continue to be effective. And the Texans are pretty good against the run, so they'll slow down Leonard Fournette a little bit. So Blake Bortles is going to have to put it up. He's extremely confident right now, protecting the ball, efficient and prolific. So I expect good things from Bortles. Can be an excellent streamer. I would even look to stack him with D.D. Westbrook this week in DFS. I think that'll be a popular combination here for the cheap quarterback alternatives, but definitely one that you have to look at strongly consider in this one. Jimmy Garoppolo, remember, went over 300 yards, only one TD. Had a pick last week, but Bortles has played a lot cleaner and having multiple DVs, so feel a lot better about Bortles in this one. And Fournette, you're into Westbrook and Lee are definitely guys that you're looking at, and I don't think you extend beyond that, but it's a good thing for the Jaguars principals and the guys that have been the best things all year, and now Bortles suddenly a big fantasy factor again. Our next game is the Jets and Saints. Now, you look at this one at 1 p.m., looks like Alvin Kamara's on the way back. You got Mark Ingram. You got to feel good, well-rested, the Thursday night football game. Drew Brees was mad at how Thursday night football went down and the injuries and all that, but I think they rebound pretty nicely here at home back in the Superdome. So Ingram and Kamara, like them. I think some people might be off them on DFS, a little bit concerned about things. There's no reason to be. The Jets can be gashed against the run. It can really be gashing into pass on Michael Thomas. You got like Drew Brees at home. I think the Saints team is just going to unload the fury. So just the main guys here, Thomas, the two backs, and Brees. It's hard to go too much more there. Ted Ginn and everyone else is kind of hit or miss, Brandon Coleman and such. So I think you stay with their principles here. Don't get cute. And I love the Saints defense as well. Bryce Petty starting on their side. That means I don't really like Robbie Anderson. Even though Petty and Anderson had a good connection last year, just not buying that to continue here in a tough matchup. Could be seeing Marshawn Lattimore as well. So it's going to be tough. The running game is going to be dragged down by Petty as well. So Powell and Matt Forte are kind of unusable. So really nothing to see on the Jets at all. Can't recommend anything there. The Saints, the main things, and their defense extends to a good play this week. Our next game, and staying in the 1 o'clock window, is the Arizona Cardinals are traveling to the Washington Redskins. This is a 44 over-under, so modest total there. Expected to be a close game. The Redskins are favored for anywhere from 2 to 4 points in this one. I don't expect a lot of offense, to be honest here. The offensive line for the Redskins is really limiting Kirk Cousins and their running game. So Samaje Perine really tough to trust against a good Cardinals run defense. I know the Cardinals can be vulnerable to quarterbacks, but those stats you have to kind of throw out the window a little bit because I think their schemes can get after Kirk Cousins here for sure. And you got to watch for that disruption with the offensive line really hurting. Not many too scary receivers. I think you look at Patrick Peterson can erase Josh Doctson. It's going to be hard to get the ball elsewhere here. So I could see pretty ugly between these two teams. I would say if you're going to trust anyone in Washington, I'd say it's P. Ryan just because of the volume potentially and passing game work here to maybe save his day. But Cousins, I know the matchup looks good on paper, but the weather and the way things are going with defense, I really can't trust the Redskins at the moment. On the Cardinals side of things, I think you look at pretty much Kerwin Williams here if he has to start again for Adrian Peterson. Kind of looks that way with a neck injury. So Kerwin Williams, just the way the Redskins have not fared against the run. And Larry Fitzgerald is staying here. I know you have Josh Norman, Breshad Breeland, but they got ate up by Keenan Allen, and Larry Fitzgerald is pretty much a venerable version of Keenan Allen. So I think he's going to have a solid game here. And beyond that, Williams and Fitzgerald, I don't think you look too much for the Cardinals. I think the Ricky Seals-Jones fun is ended. I know Vernon Davis on the other side has some upside after scoring again last week, but stay away from that as well. So not too much. I think you look at the backs, and if you had to start a receiver for the Redskins, I'd go with Jameson Crowder. So you're looking at Perine and Crowder, and the other side, Fitzgerald and Williams. We go to our next 1 o'clock game. It's the Baltimore Ravens and Cleveland Browns here. It's a 7-point spread. It's a 40 over under for this game. So Cleveland, good offensive showing. I think the Browns could do a little bit more offensively again in this one with Deshaun Kizer. His big arm moves around, maybe avoids the pass rush. Josh Gordon is going to have some good matchups here. It'll be fun to see that. I'm not sure what Marlon Humphrey, but do you look at Corey Coleman on the other side? So I kind of like the Browns passing game to do something. Maybe it comes in garbage time. Kind of like the Browns backs to be effective in this one. So the Ravens are pretty good against the run. They've gotten better since Brandon Williams is healthy. But I think the Browns can put up a few points in this one. So Duke Johnson, Crowell, and the two wideouts. You're not going to the tight end in this one at all for the Browns, but the principles are coming to life in a legitimate offense, and you can't ignore that. In fantasy, especially banged up Ravens secondary and some issues at linebacker as well. On the Ravens side, you look at Joe Flacco, potential streaming potential here with the Mike Williams and redundancy there with potential and potential, but I do like the potential a lot of Joe Flacco and what he can do here. Typically eats up Cleveland and this secondary. We know Brett Hundley just came off a big game against the Browns at home, so we have to check the weather conditions. But if they're somewhat decent, you like the connection with Mike Wallace. I think Benjamin Watson can also be effective in this one. So you're looking at also the backs, Alex Collins and Buck Allen helping Flacco have a good day. Speaking of the backs, Allen is just used too much near the goal line where you can't totally ignore him, even though Alex Collins is clearly the guy here. Allen, they just like him in short scoring situations. You figure the Ravens will have that. So I don't know if it'll be a total carbon copy of what we see against Pittsburgh, but definitely the Ravens will have an opportunity to move the ball and put up some points. Now, we only have one 405, that weird middle window of non-marqueeness, but this game is actually marquee to me. The Rams and Seahawks, and this is obviously pretty big in reality. The Seahawks are trying to usurp the Rams. They're one game back in the NFC West. It's got a potential here to get back into first place. They're not going to pass it up. So I expect the Seahawks to play very well in this one this week. You look at their defense, it's played a little bit better. Did struggle last week against Jacksonville in terms of giving up big plays. I'm not sure you're going to get that this week. The Rams are expecting to get Robert Woods back with his shoulder injury, but it'll be interesting to see, because I know you're looking at what Sean McVay has said, and he wants to open up the running game a little bit and stick to that. So I think that could be good news for Todd Gurley here. It is tough to run on the Seahawks, but you look at what their issues are right now. It's mainly in the slot there. We saw Keelan Cole and Dede Westbrook take advantage. So Woods is a key element in this game. I would really go heavily on Woods and Cooper Kupp, mainly as the Rams' attractions here. I expect Jared Goff to play better, even in the hostile environment in Seattle. So I think it could be a better game than expected for the Rams' offense. The first time they kind of fell flat, but I think at home it was a little bit of a figuring out period. This time at the road, I think Sean McVay, this team has played very well on the road. So I wouldn't be too fearful of your guys. I think Gurley and Goff are definitely viable. Kupp, again, and we have to see Wood status. But not crazy about Sammy Watkins because of the Shaq Griffin matchup. But Byron Maxwell can be eaten up in the slot. Coverage here is not too good for the Seahawks. So Kupp can stay hot. I think Woods, let's hope he returns. That's going to help Goff's value here as well. And it's close to a higher scoring game. You think it's teetering on the 49 over under. It's a slight favorite in Seattle with -1. So you expect both teams to score back and forth. So don't be too afraid of starting the Rams on this one. On the Seahawks side of things, Russell Wilson's locked into your lineup. Doug Baldwin, we'll have to see LaMarcus Joyner, that injury. A lot of injuries there as well, with Trumaine Johnson in the backfield of the Rams defense having some issues. So this could be a nice spot. It's really hard to trust Paul Richardson or Tyler Lockett. They're boom or bust, big plays or nothing. I think it's a chance to get Jimmy Graham back on track after he had a bagel there, 0 against the Jaguars defense. I think you'll see a lot of Graham, a lot of Baldwin. Mike Davis is also viable here in deeper leagues as an RB2 or flex. I think I'd go more flex with him because he doesn't get involved too much in the passing game. So it's a standard league flex for Mike Davis, but I expect the Seahawks offense to play well. So this is a good game to have a lot of shares in. I think maybe some people will be afraid because on paper the Rams and Seahawks look like daunting defenses, but really this is going to be more an offensive game than you think. Now, we've seen how Jared Goff has taken the league by storm. Unfortunately, we saw Carson Wentz go down, and we also had Deshaun Watson go down early in the season, but we're excited to see the next wave of quarterbacks come in to the NFL and be fantasy factors. So that's why you have to listen to Locked On NFL Draft, the show hosted by Joe Ledyard and Trevor Sikkema. That's a show on the Locked On NFL Network, a sister show that you got to listen to and get ready for the next prospects. We got great things coming up next year with maybe Baker Mayfield and his excitement as the Heisman Trophy winner landing somewhere and running around throwing around the way that we've seen Watson and Wentz and Wilson, for sure, we just talked about. So we're excited to see what him and Lamar Jackson can do as dual threats here in the NFL and fantasy producers. So listen to that show. Get a head start there on the 2018 NFL Draft. We're well into the 2017 draft class, but 2018, if you want to get a head start on that, know what's going to come in April when teams are on the clock, that's the show for you. It's time to go to the marquee game of Week 15 on Matchup Wednesday. That's the Patriots and Steelers is the main event here that you expect a lot of points. I mean, the Steelers had a fun shootout there with the Ravens at 39-38. I don't know if that game is going to get as high here, but it's still 54 over-under. Slight favorite New England is in this game, despite the loss on Monday night and not looking good offensively or defensively. That's because Rob Gronkowski is coming back. That's going to change a lot of factors for the Patriots offensively. Their running game is going to be better with him blocking. Their passing game is certainly going to be better with him drawing attention, helping those wide receivers get open here in this one. I like a lot of the Patriots here. It's just hard with Brandon Cooks kind of struggling its physical corners. Joe Hayden might be in the game this week. We're not sure how 100% healthy Chris Hogan is here as well. So Gronkowski, I feel really good about maybe dominating this game. I think you'll see a lot of the backs, Deion Lewis, Rex Burkhead, James White, be more involved, especially with the Steelers linebacker issue. So I think you're going to see a similar offense that he had in Miami, where a lot of slot work to Danny Amendola, a lot of inside work to Gronk now that he's back in the fold, and a lot of work by the running backs as well. So I think Chris Hogan, he didn't look fully healthy to me with the shoulder, and it's going to be tough to suddenly see him be much better on a short week here in a better matchup. And again, if Hayden returns, that kind of changes the perspective of looking how you attack this Steelers team. And Tom Brady, after having a couple bad games in the rows, the first person to know that is going to go to the favorable matchup. So something you definitely have to look for in this one to kind of play it. You kind of guess the way this Patriots will go with their game plan, but I think that's the way you expect it. A little short dink and dunk, work the middle of the field, exploit where the Steelers are the weakest at the moment, and also combat their good pass rush there led by TJ Watt. That's Tom Brady needs to go with the Achilles and all that. It's going to be dink and dunk, short passing game, spread the field. It usually works against the Steelers for the Patriots, and I expect Tom Brady to rebound in a big way. Ben Roethlisberger, there's no real reason to think he'll cool off too much here. He's played well on the road. He's played very well at home, coming off a 500-yard monster game. Antonio Brown, Le'Veon Bell, they'll get their points. It's going to be really hard for the Patriots to do their thing to say, we're going to take one of these guys away. You just can't do that. They're just too versatile, moving around. The Steelers do a great job of making sure these guys get the ball, even in the toughest matchups, even in double teams, even in the loading the box situation. So Bell and Brown, you feel good about. I think the question is, who else is going to be a factor here? Will it be Jesse James at tight end? Will it be Juju Smith-Schuster returning or Martavis Bryant? I would expect the thing they want to get in this game is Martavis Bryant or Juju Smith-Schuster on Malcolm Butler. And I would say of those, I think Bryant can cause the most problems because of his speed and size and length in the red zone. We saw Malcolm Butler get burned several times. So Stephon Gilmore is going to do his best against Antonio Brown, but they could also move him around where he's on Smith-Schuster. So I would expect that the matchup is going to be a lot of Bryant on Butler, and I would go Bryant in that as the sneaky source of points here. The Steelers have got to beat the Patriots in their own game, spreading the ball around, looking for the favorable matchups, and I think Bryant is going to be more involved than Smith-Schuster in that regard here, and more so than James as well. I think he'll cool off at tight end. Defensively, you're staying away from both teams, obviously, with the way things are going, so shootout expected. I think they'll come through in a classic game. I do like the Patriots to win this game, but I think it's going to be more with the backs if they get the job done. Our next game is the Titans and 49ers. And you look at this one, and it's Jimmy Garoppolo time in this one. 425 also in this window. It's not a marquee game by any means, but you look at the 49ers, it's pick 'em or they're favored here by -2. It's 45 over under, so I really don't trust this Titans offense at this point. Marcus Mariota just doesn't look right. They admitted that. He's having some knee issues. So the running is a little bit limited. That limits their traditional running game, but DeMarco Murray, Derrick Henry, all of a sudden the 49ers, the past 2 weeks against the Bears and Texans, have put on the clamps against the run. Part of it is the control of the game, that Jimmy Garoppolo is allowing them to score, get ahead, and then the game flow is more in the 49ers' favor all of a sudden. So things can change pretty quickly. I still like the main receivers here, former 49ers tight end Delanie Walker in the Titans. I think he'll rebound here to have a good game. I think I also like Rishard Matthews to play well in this one. But other than that, I think you look at Matthews and Walker, I just don't trust the Murray-Henry. I know the matchup looks very good, and one of them could easily go off. I think if anyone, it would be Henry over Murray, because Murray just doesn't look good at this point. So if you're going there, I think Henry is viable as a deep league RB2 or flex of the two backs this week. Jimmy Garoppolo, you got to love, and a potential Wentz replacement. I mentioned Foles and Bortles. He's right up there with Jimmy Garoppolo. I think he could actually be a better look at DFS this week. I know he's had only one touchdown here last week and didn't have one in the previous week, but it's going to come eventually, the multiple TDs, and I think it's a good spot as any against a secondary that really can't do much here anymore. So Marquise Goodwin is going to continue to produce. We saw Garrett Celek find the end zone. I think you look at Kyle Juszczyk has been pretty usable as well in the passing game. I think you'll get more people involved like Aldrick Robinson. So I think this will be a multi-TD game for Garoppolo. I think he'll run around a little bit as well. So this is a good spot, and Jimmy G looks like the real deal here for this offense. And I like the 49ers to win this game and to be more effective, actually, in moving the ball because of Jimmy Garoppolo. We're down to two games, the two primetime last games here at Cowboys and Raiders. And Ezekiel, one more game. This is it. If you can somehow get to the championship game in Week 16, you're sitting pretty if you've been waiting for Ezekiel Elliott. If you have the foresight to have Alfred Morris and or Rod Smith, you're feeling good about this matchup as well. For one more week until they can return, or until Zeke can return. So the over-under one is in this is 46. The Cowboys are a slight favorite. I think this game is going to probably go under because the Cowboys are going to have their way with the Raiders in terms of running the ball. And bet David Irving comes back from his concussion this week at defensive line. We know Sean Lee already returned from his hamstring last week and was a big, big factor. So I like Dak Prescott in this game. I like Jason Witten. I like Dez Bryant as the principal here that can be a big factor. He's red hot right now. Dez is streaky, and now he can really take it to this Raiders secondary. So Cole Beasley, if you're stretching, you could go there. He's just hard to trust how much he's going to get volume-wise from game to game, and it really hasn't been that high overall this season. So I think you look at Bryant, Witten, Prescott. I like Morris. I think you can look at Rod Smith, too, if you're in a deeper league, because it's going to be run, 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 and go nuts, and the Raiders have given up a lot of chunk runs. So I think Morris and Smith and those main receivers are going to help Prescott control the game and be effective in this one. On the Raiders side, on paper, Derek Carr looks like a good play at home, but Mari Cooper, the question marks about him and his injury, Michael Crabtree, we'll see if the Cowboys can contain him. They've got some better secondary play of late. We saw that materialize against the Giants. So really tough to trust anything on the Raiders. I think Marshawn Lynch you go with because he's a guy that keeps to keep coming through for you no matter what at this point. Game flow doesn't really matter. Lynch is the best source of Raiders scoring in this one. So I go with Lynch, even with Marquise Lee on the other side. It's still very difficult as well. And our last game that we look at. Now, we close with our game here in Tampa Bay. It's Monday Night Football. We saw Julio Jones destroy the Buccaneers in the first matchup. The Falcons travel down there. A lot at stake. John Gruden will be calling the game, obviously, the former Bucs coach. And unfortunately, he can't come and coach their offense there with the Bucs. I think we'll start with the Falcons here. Matt Ryan, it's been really a struggle here. Even in the first game when the Julio Jones went off, you had the other touchdown went to Jones from Mohamed Sanu. But I think this is a chance for Matt Ryan to really close well here with the playoffs definitely in sight for the Falcons and the NFC South title. And you look at Julio Jones, the matchup is so good against the Bucs. Pretty much do anything here again for a second time against the secondary. Tevin Coleman, it's got the concussion, so that's a bit of a concern. But Devonta Freeman, you really like here that if Coleman doesn't play, you give Freeman a bump and his must own and DFS to close out the week, especially in a Thursday, Monday type contest. But we'll have to see with Coleman. I think you can put Coleman in there. I think Freeman is more an RB1 this week. Coleman is more that flex play type this week if he's able to go. Mohamed Sanu, I like. He's staying so hot in this offense with Jones, so I don't think you go too much deeper than that on the Falcons, but I think there's a chance maybe Matt Ryan, people sleeping on him on DFS, way off him after that Saints dismal performance, but save the best for last. I think Ryan could definitely go off in this matchup on the road. It's a 47 over under. The Falcons are favored around 6, so pretty good chance for the Falcons to light up the scoreboard in this one with a lot there. On the Buccaneer side of things, when you look at what I mentioned with Gruden, I wasn't joking totally with Dirk Cotter just kind of ruining this offense. I think you should see a lot more Peyton Barber in this game. The first matchup, he had a couple scores against the Falcons. So Barber should take over Doug Martin again. Martin just didn't look good. Even though he scored, he fumbled, was a more ineffective than not in that game. So I look at the Bucs and you kind of reluctantly think Mike Evans will do something, but then you don't. So Evans, we've touted as an every week play all year, just hasn't lived up to those expectations. So it's really hard to trust anything. If anything, I'm going with Barber and O.J. Howard as well, who had a big game the first time around. So Barber, Howard, the youth movement is there, clearly turning the table for Dirk Koetter, maybe for someone else coaching offensively and this team overall next year. So really, it's sad, but that's how I feel, that it's Barber and Howard more so than trusting anything like Mike Evans or DeSean Jackson, James Winston. Winston can still get his two TDs, as he's somehow been able to do, even with the struggle, but I think you could do much better because it's going to come with a lot of turnovers to limit his upside as well. And so if you're going to go Ryan or Winston in this game, I think you go Ryan for sure. So there you have it. There is your matchup Wednesday for week 15 on Locked On Fantasy Football. Please subscribe on iTunes to get this podcast delivered to you every week in convenient form that you're up to date with what's going on in fantasy football. And make sure you're checking out all the great shows on the Locked On NFL Network and beyond with NBA and our fantasy basketball show as well, as that sport heats up in fantasy for sure, with NFL starting to wrap up. So for Locked On Fantasy Football, this has been Vinny Iyer. Make sure that you're getting into the action on Draft Wednesday, 5:30 p.m. Eastern. Look for that draft on the app or on draft.com. It's the Locked On Fantasy League. Join that and we can put your wits to the test in a new format, Snake Draft Fun. For Locked On Fantasy Football, this has been Vinny Iyer. We'll see you next time for Focused Friday.